Cole, your host for the Worldwide Vegan Summit for Truth and Freedom. We're now honored to have the valuable opportunity to learn from the nutritional wisdom and the life experience of Margarita Restrepo. She is the founder and editor-in-chief of the award-winning Naked Food Magazine. Naked is an acronym for New Authentic Kind and Enlightened Diet. And she's also the founder of the International Association of Reversive Medicine and the founder of WFPB.org, a nonprofit organization that empowers human and planetary health through a whole foods, plant-based way of eating and living. Margarita is also the co-founder of the Anima Mundi Education, a K-12 school that includes plant-based nutrition, health, consciousness, and sustainability throughout its curriculum. She's the author of the Evidence-Based Universal Guideline for Human and Planetary Health, as well as 4 whole food plant-based culinary medicine cookbooks. Margarita is an impassioned proponent of lifestyle medicine for body, mind, and spirit, as well as organic and vegan permaculture and holistic living. And so I'm, again, really delighted that we have this opportunity. We've known Margarita for many years. This magazine that she creates is fantastic in terms of really bringing the heart and soul of the vegan movement into the general public. And she has also recently, about a year ago, I guess, moved from the United States, Florida to Italy. So she's joining us from Italy. And Margarita, I'd just like to ask you here as we get started, if you can just say a few words about what got you started on this path of healthy living, and especially the Naked Food Magazine, which you've created and written articles and created the recipes and done the graphics. I mean, it's amazing the range of your talents and your enormous energy. So if you could tell us a little bit about that, that would be fantastic.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, thank you for having me. It's always an honor to talk to you and to be part of anything that you do, Will. You always empower us in so many ways, and I thank you for that. Yes, absolutely. Naked Food really was inspired by a personal experience that I had. My partner was actually diagnosed about 10 years ago with a glioblastoma multiforme, which is a cancerous tumor in the brain. It's a very rare type of cancer, and it doesn't have a lot of hopes in the diagnosis is always bad. You know, the prognosis, it's a few months or maximum, you know, a year or two of life. But we started reading about nutrition. And so nutrition based on plants, vegetables, whole foods, all these plant foods, and how healing food could be. You know, we decided, we don't have anything else to try. They didn't really give us any other therapies or anything. Thank God. Now that I see back, I'm like, thank God. And so we decided to try food. And so we started this nutritional protocol. And three months after his diagnosis, he got a second test, and his test showed a decrease in tumor growth. And so this was a miracle, really. This was crazy. This was not heard or seen by doctors or the medical staff. And so they were asking us what we were doing, and we were doing nothing but food. And so this gave me a lot of answers. Well, at the same time, it showed me a lot of the dark side of the medical system and the healthcare or disease care system, I should call it. And so, like, it was positive, but at the same time, I saw the bad, the really, really bad, because we were told that a lot of the procedures that he should have had were really damaging. They wanted to put stents in his arteries. You know, all the drugs that he was prescribed were really killing him. And, you know, it was really tough to sort of like come face that yourself. Unfortunately, he passed away 8 months after his diagnosis, but we did see improvement. So if we would have been able to only do food and lifestyle, really, you know, diet at that moment, and if I would have known what I know today, how to do it, the water fasting, the, you know, the raw foods and like all these things that I could have applied, I believe that it would have, the result would have been even better. So I saw improvements on myself as well. You know, after these 8 months, my body sort of went back to feeling as good as when I felt when I was probably 20, 18. I don't know. I felt great, you know, like my skin cleared up. I had been diagnosed with anxiety disorder. I was also diagnosed with ovarian cysts. I had cysts everywhere, like apparently. And I had really painful menstruations. I had a lot of issues, you know. I used to feel lightheaded a lot. And, you know, this nutritional protocol, even though it was not perhaps as good as is today, you know, through the process of learning and all these things, it saved me, you know. And so this sad and bad situation that my boyfriend had to go through actually saved me. And so it opened my eyes in so many different ways and in different aspects of life and also mortality. So spirituality, also nature and the appreciation of nature, animals, flowers, food, soil, water, air. Really, it's like another person was born. And so I wanted with all of my heart and my talent and my power, anything that I could do to share the message. And so little by little, I started finding amazing people like Dr. Colin Campbell and his teachings, you know, about holism and about whole food plant-based nutrition. I found you. I found these many beautiful people, really, that inspired me to do something for others, you know, and to help the world or to help give a little bit of light on these subjects. So I did. I started Naked Food, truly with nothing else but a laptop that I had. I had graduated from college from marketing and design. I had a double major. And so I said, well, you know, I have a computer. I could probably, you know, do this. I felt like I was pretty good with graphics and visuals, and I had studied, you know, and practiced branding for a long time. And so I did, you know, I did, and it was wonderful. It was really wonderful.
Wow. You know, I've been able to appreciate what you're talking about as someone who's been a subscriber to Naked Food Magazine. I just reached over here while you were speaking, and I mean, I've got all these, they're so spectacular, these magazines. I mean, they're so beautiful when you see the amazing creativity and vitality and color that just bursts off every page, and the love that you put into this and the love in the foods that you create literally dozens and dozens of vegan dishes in a very creative, playful, joyful, nutritious way. So you're showing people how food can be beautiful for the eye. It can be beautiful for your health. And I know my wife Madeline, who is an artist, she just loves your magazine because it's so artistic. Oh. And she likes to paint the meal, she says, you know, make them really colorful.
Oh, my God. Wow.
You know, you have such a, you're kindred spirits, I think, in many ways.
Yeah, sure.
And so this has been really a huge blessing, I think, to the vegan community to have your publication, which goes out in a print edition. It goes out online, too. And not only do you talk about the importance of healthy living, but one of the things I've really appreciated about you is your emphasis on compassion for animals and sustainability, you know, the big picture. You mm-hmm. also have been, from my point of view, very courageous in being willing to tackle some of the more difficult issues that we're facing now. And so I'd like to kind of segue into that, because you talked about the sort of seeing the both the light side of human nature and the beauty of people, but also the dark side mm-hmm. of the medical industry with your boyfriend's disease. Mm-hmm. For the last year and a half, of course, we've been seeing, I think, from my point of view anyway, the dark side of the pharmaceutical, medical, corporate, media, governmental complex playing out. And you have been writing about this somewhat. So what is your basic perspective on what we're seeing unfolding in our society here? And how do you think we can best respond to this?
Well, you know, I think the one thing that I've realized, and it's kind of like that same switch that you were mentioning before, that, you know, when awareness comes in, it doesn't come compartmentalized. It's complete, you know. So when you realize the amazing miracle of nature, a little sprout that starts from a seed, and you see it bloom, and then the flower comes in, and then it creates the fruit. If you're not amazed by that, it's because you haven't seen it. Mm. With the same token, when you have not been able to experience the magnificence of an animal, you know, the spirit of an animal, it's something that only by experiencing it or by seeing it, you can really understand the beauty and the God that lives within that animal, just like within all of us. So only when you're able to see that, you understand that whatever damage you're doing to someone else, whether it's a human or an animal, you're doing it to yourself, but and vice versa, of course. And so I understood that switch sort of went on in many, many ways. Right. In that same situation that we see with the medical system is the same situation that we see with media, right, propaganda, education, mm-hmm. institutions, religion, politics. Mm-hmm. Everything is really... everything follows the same narrative, and the same narrative is followed because they don't want us to think on our own. They want us to follow orders. They want us to follow rules. They want us to not develop our inner knowledge, our higher self. Call it whatever you want, but they don't want us to be able to think, to critically think about things. And so I guess that's the magic, not good magic, but it's the magic of propaganda. And so when you talk about, for example, academia, you know, and you talk about a scientific paper, and you realize that, you know, a scientific paper can talk about how good Coca-Cola or Pepsi can be for your health, you know, we're screwed. We're screwed because... you know, it's not good, but if science says it, then, you know, they're just using it to sell. They are using science as a marketing tool. And it's a shame. It's a shame because I love science. You know, like I love the fact that we human beings develop, sometimes I call them arts, but it's this love to explain things, you know, to really convey things and understand what it is that we're experiencing or seeing. And I love science. I hate the fact that everything gets hijacked. And so when science gets hijacked, it's probably one of the most shameful things that we can experience, because everybody says, well, but you know, it's scientific. Oh, it's evidence-based. Well, really? Let's see who did that study. Let's really analyze, you know, and it's the same thing that's happening right now with you know, with this situation that we're living in. Mm-hmm. You know, there has really not been any virus isolation ever.
Right.
I actually, last year, I dedicated time that I didn't have to actually delve into the subject of virology. I had to understand for myself what it is that we were talking about. So I actually got certified in virology because I needed to understand what it is that people were talking about, and or the news were talking about, or everything that they were, you know, telling us about. At the same time, I've been learning a lot for the last 3, 4 years about permaculture and about, you know, nurturing the soil and how the microbes are great along with the microbiome in our body. And so when you understand that virology is based on, I don't want to offend anybody because, again, you know, I'm certified in virology, but when you understand that virology is based on something that has not even been scientifically proven,
right,
then what are we talking about? You know, there hasn't been any virus isolation. There's no proof that a virus is the cause of a disease ever. And why? Because of this concept of this reductionist concept that we have, this reductionism, which is the opposite of holism. When we talk about whole food plant-based, we're talking about, you know, a nutritional protocol that includes the food in its whole state, right? So that means that you eat foods that are not processed or nutrients that have not been isolated from the whole food or extracted, right? So the food is whole, right? Let's say broccoli. So broccoli is a whole food because you eat it when it's intact, right? Not a broccoli extract or a broccoli pill. You eat the whole food. So this concept of holism is that important, which is one concept that Dr. Campbell magnificently explains in terms of nutrition. When you understand holism, then you understand that the problem is not a particle what causes the problem. A whole is, like he says in his examples, imagine an orchestra. And so there are 30 different instruments in that orchestra, but every instrument plays a part. And that part is as important to that piece of music as any other. But all together, they build this magnificent opera, this magnificent masterpiece, right? It's the same with our bodies. Our bodies, the environment of our bodies, of our cells, is called a terrain. And that terrain really constitutes the well-being of our body. If, you know, a lot of us have seen that little example of a little fish that, you know, there's two bowls of water.
Right.
One is contaminated water and the other one is clean. And so the fish in the little contaminated bowl gets sick, right? It's sick because, of course, you know, its environment is completely contaminated. So what do? You give a pill or you vaccinate the fish, or you simply change the water.
Purify
the
bowl. Water. Right, exactly. I know it's, I think that's a great example, right?
Because the fish can only be as healthy as the water it swims in.
Right.
It's that simple. So it's the same with us. We eat, you know, whole foods as much as possible, organic, non-GMO. We drink pure water. We breathe non-toxic air. We do our best to create this environment for ourselves. So that's really what determines health or disease, which is, it is your lifestyle. You know, everything that you do in your lifestyle is your environment. And that's what determines, you know, if you're ill or you're not. Now, the situation is very frustrating because all the rules of common sense or science or even everything that we know about the human body has been hijacked, has been violated. You know, that there's a magnificent microbiome that exists inside of us. It makes up our immune system. What happened to that? Where did that go?
Yeah, that's being destroyed by pharmaceutical medication. That's really well understood.
Yeah.
And, of course, they don't make any money on healthy people. They only make money on sick people. So.
Right. And that's the thing that, you know, people like you and me and, you know, hopefully the people that are listening to this interview, I want to eat better or to be healthier, right? Or to acquire immunity. But this term of immunity really, it's sort of, you know, health is cultivated. It's not injected. So don't expect that an injection is going to give you something better than what nature can. You know, we're all part of nature, so there is no way that something synthetic, and even, you know, further than synthetic, something that sort of distorts your DNA and your RNA is going to do something for you. You know, it's your responsibility to actually allow nature to heal. You know, I think that one important thing that perhaps I would like to say is that one of the worst things that we have been led to believe is that when we feel sick, and I say sick in quotations, let's say that we get a fever, right? So we feel like, oh, I have a fever. Oh, I'm sick because I have a fever. But nobody has really taken the time to explain to people that when you get fever, it's actually your immune system activating itself by creating heat so you can sweat, so you can detox, so you can get rid of toxins. Same thing that when you sneeze or when you cough. When you sneeze, you throw toxins through that mucus. Same with when you cough. Same when you have digestive problems and you have to go to the bathroom right away or whatever. These are all ways that the body uses to detoxify, to get rid of toxins. So to try to convince people that because I sneeze is because I'm sick, it does not make sense. It's a way for the immune system to get rid of something. There is something that your body needs to get rid of. Help it get rid of it. Give it the right fuel that it needs so you can actually, you know, renew your cells and detoxify the way that you need to.
Right. Yeah, that's really well said. I love how you said that immunity is something that we should be cultivating. It's never something that can be injected into us. That reductionism and the idea that sickness is actually our beautiful, magnificent, physical, miraculous vehicle detoxifying itself from the thousands of different chemicals and poisons that the same industry, the pharmaceutical chemical industry, is producing. Yep. All the time, and ends up on our food and in the water. And our doctors are not trained to encourage us to cleanse, to let the cold or the sneeze or the fever run its course and purify. They say, no, give some drugs, take some toxic poison chemical and stop the cleansing. Then you'll feel better. And what happens then? I mean, what do? You just drive the whole thing deeper, and then they make more money when you have cancer, right? More money because your body's not being allowed to detoxify. And yeah. What do you think about... I mean, it sounds like that's where you're going with what you're saying, that just we should trust our body. That's the beautiful revelation that you were talking about, it seems to me. Trust nature and our inner wisdom. And in Italy, where you are, I'm probably similar here. It seems like everything that the government and the industry are rolling out are against this. I mean, like wearing a mask. What do you think about some of these protocols that have been introduced to the population for us to be healthy, to make us healthy?
Well, that's a great question. And this is the way I see it. So let's go back to basics. And if you think about what a human being needs to live, not even to be healthy, but to live, to survive, are, you know, a few basic things, which are air, right? We need oxygen because we breathe oxygen, right? So wear a mask. Wear a mask so you can't breathe the oxygen. Now, the bad thing, of course, is that we breathe out carbon dioxide.
Lots of other stuff, yeah.
Carbon dioxide plus toxins because, of course, you know, you detoxify 24/7, right? Your body detoxifying 24/7. So carbon dioxide, which is also, you know, you breathe it back because you're not able to really take in oxygen. Now, these masks are really, they harbor a lot of bacteria. Why? Because we take it down, we put it back, we have makeup, we eat, blah, 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 you know, like all these things, we put it back, blah, blah, blah. Even if you throw it away and you put another mask back, you're not letting your body breathe, which is, again, number one basic need of a human, right? Another need is vitamin D. Vitamin D comes from the sun. We all know that sunlight actually, you know, sort of processes that sunlight in through the skin. And, you know, vitamin D is a hormone that gets produced in the body. Back in, well, last year, you know, through the lockdown and all these things, you couldn't get out of the house. People were so afraid of getting out because there was this, you know, killing virus that was going to come and get you. And it's in the air. It's in the air, so wear your mask, right? No oxygen. And also, no sunlight because, you know, be careful. So no vitamin D, no sunlight, no oxygen. Our water, which will probably constitute number three of the basic things that we need to live. Well, we all know that our water is in pretty bad condition. Why? Because our waters are full of heavy and soft metals, chemicals, I mean, what have you. If you don't have a filter at home, at least for your water, it's, you know, water is contaminated. So the basic elements of for a human to really, let's say, survive are being compromised. Now, take it a little further. Yes, we know that all of these things that they spray in the air, of course, in our foods, in our soils, in our waters, every crop is full of pesticides, herbicides, blah, blah, blah. So if you add all of these toxins up, you're like, okay, so I'm really, I mean, my body is getting so many insults, right? These are like insults to your health in a daily basis from everywhere you see. So again, if we go back and we talk about this ecosystem, or let's call it terrain or our environment, this is the environment of our cells. So whatever we put in is the environment of our cells. Now we have a huge change in the electrification of the earth, which a lot of people, you know, a lot of people still, I believe, you know, they may. Oh, that's a conspiracy, but it's not really a conspiracy. It is happening. There's like thousands of new satellites that have been sent into the atmosphere for a reason. And so when there's a change in electrification, our body, our heart has an electric pulse. Our brains, our neurons have electric pulses. They move to electricity, let's say, right? This is all based on electric pulses. So you bet that if there's a huge change in our atmosphere, which surrounds everybody, there will be consequences to that. I mean, it would be naive to think that, you know, our planet, any man-made change, heavy change in our planet would not, you know, cause anything to any living organism that lives in that planet. So these are all things that have been, I think, crazy. And, you know, when people get sick, I mean, this is really the first time in, well, probably it's happened before in history, but this is the first time that you have to test yourself to see if you're sick. You know, go test yourself and see if you're sick. And in these tests, you know, actually I have an interview. I welcome everybody, anybody who's interested in seeing it. I will hopefully be uploading soon, but I have an interview with actually a nanotoxicologist, an Italian nanotoxicologist, who talks about what they have found in the swabs from these PCR tests without even talking about the fact that in virology, a PCR test cannot diagnose any type of viral condition. It just sees a genetic chain, a genetic sequence, but it cannot diagnose a virus. So just that, you know, just making that little comment there. But anyway, so I spoke to her. She's an amazing nanotoxicologist, and she is able to see the nanoparticles that are present in these tests. You know, all this is done with an electron microscope and, you know, like tools that probably you and I cannot or don't have really access to easily. And she's found a lot of toxins that are in these swabs. So then you go and you check if you have this disease, you're healthy. Or maybe you sneezed, or maybe you got fever because your body is detoxifying from something that you got, right? Whether call it the electrification of the earth or some toxin that you have or whatever. Your body is just detoxifying. So you're sick because your body is detoxifying. And so you go, you have to go test yourself. And then you test yourself and, you know, again, a test that cannot diagnose the virus, you're either positive or negative depending on the cycle threshold that that test is designed with. And so, you know, okay, so the roulette says that you are positive, you know, because it's a roulette. So you're positive because the cycles are a big number. And so you feel like you got this disease, you know, this virus that you can't, you know, you can do anything against or whatever. And then the doctors give you antibiotics and the doctors treat you with things that they should not be treating you. Antibiotics, anti-life, anti-life. And so that's the first thing that every time that you're ill, that you're, you have something, doctors give you antibiotics because the purpose is to kill any kind of microbes that are in you when 99% of our DNA is actually microbes. 99% of our DNA is made by microbes. Only 1% of our DNA is human. So when you see it from, you know, from afar, you're like, wow. The heck are we doing? You know, we're really doing the exact opposite. You know, wow. When I say we, it's as a society, you know, we're just
right.
We're telling people the exact opposite of health, of well-being, and mm-hmm. we're killing their immune systems, killing their good bacteria, nice. Their intestinal flora. It's a mess, well, Will.
You know, it's interesting because when I get my PhD at Berkeley in education, one of the things I really looked at was the educational system. And one of the things people say is, well, the educational system is really not working. You know, it's not really working. It's not making people who are really critically thinking in powerful ways and creative and so forth. It's really not working. And of course, my research led me to understand at a very deep level that actually that's not true. It's working exactly the way it's supposed to work. It's yeah. designed to dumb people down. That's what it's supposed to do. It's working perfectly. Yeah. And I'm seeing the same yeah. thing with what you're saying with the medical establishment. I mean, they're using tests. They're completely bogus. They're giving so-called therapies that are designed to harm you and make you much sicker. And people yeah. say, well, it's a mess. It's not working. Well, actually, I think it's working exactly the way it's supposed to concentrate wealth in the hands of a few people, which is what we yeah. said about animal agriculture the same way. So, yep. You know, the last thing I want to talk about, we are getting a little bit close to the end of our wonderful time together, but you have also made an effort to have a school for children to help them understand these ideas. And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about how that fits in to your vision. And thank you so much, before we go into that, for just telling us that this nano toxicologist was revealing that even the tests, even the swabs, have toxins in them. So even getting a test, you're actually harming yourself.
Because a lot of people, I don't know if you've heard, but a lot of people, after they do a PCR test, 2 or 3 days later, they are completely sick. Mm. You know, and families, for example, I have two cases of families of four people that have been traveling lately. And the four people have fallen completely ill after 2 or 3 days of taking that PCR test.
Wow.
So it could be a coincidence.
You don't know,
but
right? We don't know what's in anything. I mean, we don't know what's in the test. We don't know what's in any pharmaceutical product at all. We really don't know.
Yeah.
That's something to
be. And, you know, Will, like one useful thing about what you were saying about education perhaps is people should research two things. The first should be the Flexner report.
Right.
The Flexner report is very enlightening because it will explain to you why the medical system works the way it works, because it's been planned to work.
Commissioned by Rockefeller, yeah, back in the...
Yeah, in Carnegie, exactly.
In Carnegie, right.
Yeah. And as part of that whole plan that they did with the Flexner report came also the General Education Board. And so just, you know, people can go ahead and do their own research. Just research the General Education Board, and you will see how schools started, you know, how the beginning of public education started, and the idea behind it, you know, and how they financed it is disgusting. So, but it's something that probably will be good for people to know.
Right, and the Flexner report is about the medical schools and the training of doctors and how anything else other than a strict pharmaceutical protocol became completely forbidden. And homeopathy was basically destroyed, and natural healing systems were destroyed. And the Flexner report really laid the foundation. And it's very good to, like you say, to research that, understand where these doctors are getting their training, who are telling us that we have to take these drugs and so forth.
Yeah, and something curious that people probably would think is another coincidence, you know, some people. But guess which university was chosen as the, let's say, the model university, again, from Rockefeller and Carnegie, to do this, get rid of plant-based medicine, herbal medicine, homeopathic, any natural medicines were, you know, sort of removed from medical curriculums because of this Flexner report. And guess which university was actually the chosen one to be the model for this. And it's one university that's been, you know, causing or actually providing a lot of the information on COVID-19, like all the cases.
I bet it's Johns Hopkins, is it?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's a circle, you know, it's a circle. Another coincidence, I guess.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
All right. So, yes, tell us a little bit about Anima Mundi School, please. I know we have to kind of wrap it up here, but it's been so fascinating.
Thank you so much. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me and for allowing me to share. Anima Mundi has been a dream for a long time. My partner, Claudia Diaz, and I had decided a couple years ago to do something about education. We wanted to create something where holism, as we talked about it here, was part of the educational curriculums, but not only holism, but also culinary medicine and plant-based nutrition and consciousness and kindness and compassion and spirituality. and also languages and academics and, you know, science and biology, but not as divided subjects, but as the term holism says, as a whole. So what we wanted to do was really, you know, inspire children to develop many of their intelligences. So not just, let's say, you know, memory or data, you know, memory, not this kind of thing. We wanted children to really be aware from an early age. See, for us, it takes 3 or 4 decades or 5 or 6 or 7 to really get to the point of an awareness of nutrition, the medical system, compassion, nature, all these things. And it's like, because of course we were part of this society or this paradigm from our families, right? From the institutions. Right. And we wanted to create something where children actually from the start could have the knowledge that we have today, or this awareness that we may have today. Of course, that it's something that we always keep learning and we keep, you know, all these things. But so we wanted to create a method of learning. And this method of learning includes all of these things that we would like to have had ourselves. You know, permaculture, organic permaculture, you know, wisdom, you know, real history, not the history from those who won the war, or the history from those who, you know, wanted to tell their own story, but the real history, you know, wisdom, how to really be our best, not only as spiritual human beings, but physically and emotionally, and how we can be part of this earth, but not of it.
Right. Wow, that's a beautiful vision. Yeah, that's really
cool. Yeah, it's a wonderful, you know, it's a wonderful thing, and we hope to really truly give our best into a new way of education, one that is completely cohesive in no ways, you know, and really imagine the concept of whole food plant-based nutrition, but now imagine it about everything, about every aspect of life, where everything is complete, where everything is, it's, you know, your spiritual being, your emotional being, your physical being, everything that's around you, it's part of that, you know, holistic, complete, coherent ecosystem that is around you. And so that really is what Anima Mundi Education is, and we hope that we can achieve it, because I think that more than ever we need this. And you know, I guess my pitch for your listeners is that we are offering homeschooling, off-grid learning, and also online learning. So we offer 3 different types of learning for anybody, any parent, or anyone who knows of a parent who needs this kind of solution for their children. You know, they can go to our website and check it out. I believe that they will not be disappointed.
Wow. Well, thank you. You know, we are really at the end of our time. Can you just close maybe by letting people know where they can actually go to find out more about your offering? That'd be great.
Yes, of course. Okay, so for the school, www.animamundi.school. That's the website. It ends at .school. And for the organization, wholefoodplantbased.org or WFPB.org, and the magazine, nakedfoodmagazine.com. I hope that we can keep bringing light and awareness, you know, through everything that we do. And I thank you, Brother Will, because you are part of this amazing change that we're trying to, you know, see in the world. And I'm just so honored and thankful for having people like you who have the guts to really stand for truth and wisdom and freedom. Freedom in everything. You know, we're human beings who deserve, you know, freedom and awareness. So thank you. Thank you for being you.
All right. Thank you so much, Margarita. This has been really a tour de force. We've learned so much. And I want to thank you for everyone, for all your work.
Thank you.
It's really an honor to be with you. And so go forth, everyone, and check out these resources that she's providing. And we'll look forward to keeping the momentum going. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you so much.